Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Well, hello and good morning, faithful listeners. And today is such a beautiful day. I am already just so excited for the day. I'm excited for the sunshine and for the beautiful weather. It's just been gorgeous these past couple days, and I'm excited for more sunny weather as I see the trees starting to bloom and the grass is getting greener. I'm just very, very excited about the weather and just can't wait to get into my garden. So let me know what the weather is where you live. I love hearing from you guys, and I love hearing about where you live and about the typical weather in your area. So contact me. You'll find my information listed in the description of this episode. But also make sure to grab your cup of coffee this morning. And if you don't know what kind of coffee to drink, check out 7 Weeks Coffee, because they support life in the womb and they donate 10% of everything they make to pregnancy centers across the U.S. And they've been able to raise something like over $300,000 now to pregnancy centers. So they're doing great work, and they also make great coffee. But in the meantime, grab whatever coffee you have on hand. And let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel 26, 1 through 12. And we're going to talk about how Saul once again is hunting David. Big shocker. I'll be reading out of the WEB this morning. The Ziphites came to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doesn't David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before the desert?" Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul encamped in the hill of Hakilah, which is before the desert, by the way. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul had certainly come. Then David arose, and came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, with Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his army. Saul lay within the place of the wagons, and the people were encamped around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people at night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the place of the wagons, with his spear stuck into the ground at his head. And Abner and the people lay around him. Then Abishai said to David, "God has delivered up your enemy into your hand today. Now therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the earth at one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against Yahweh's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "As Yahweh lives, Yahweh will strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go down into the battle and perish. Yahweh forbid that I should stretch out my hand against Yahweh's anointed. But now please take the spear that is at his head and the jar of water, and let's go." So David took the spear and the jar of water from Saul's head, and they went away. No man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from Yahweh had fallen on them. Well, Saul's promise to David didn't last very long. If you go back to 1 Samuel 24, the first time that David spared Saul's life, at the very end of the chapter, Saul actually apologizes to David. Here's what it says if you go back to it. 1 Samuel 24, 17 through 21. Saul says to David, "You are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him go away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you have treated me today. I know that you surely will be the king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." Well, I guess technically he didn't really say he wouldn't try to kill David in the future. Like, if you're looking at it, I mean, what does he say here? "You are good. I was not good. I tried to kill you, but you did not try to kill me. I treated you badly." Like, pretty much Saul is basically telling David in this chapter, "I am sorry for trying to kill you." But I guess, yeah, he didn't technically say he wasn't going to try to kill him in the future. But it is a very good thing that David did not believe Saul. And I talked about that a couple weeks ago. David did not believe Saul. He did not return home. He, in fact, went back to his stronghold and stayed there. And we don't know how long it was in between 1 Samuel 24 and 1 Samuel 26, where Saul tries to kill David again. But it doesn't seem like much time has really passed at all. And sorry if you hear an airplane actually going around and around. I have a neighbor nearby that has an airplane. And right around this time, on really sunny days, he likes to come out and just fly it all over the place. And so and sometimes he can be kind of distracting to me, but he enjoys his hobby. But anyway, going back to 1 Samuel 26, the Ziphites came to Saul to Gibeah saying, "Doesn't David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before the desert?" So these are the exact same guys actually that came to Saul originally in 1 Samuel 24 when Saul went to go find David before. The Ziphites, for some reason, these people really had it out for David. They did not like David for some reason, or maybe they just really wanted to get on Saul's good side for whatever reason. So these Ziphites have it out for David. And once again, they come to Saul a little while later and they say, "Hey, David's hiding out in the hill of Hakilah, which is right before you get to the desert." So Saul listens to these guys, totally forgets that he had apologized to David for trying to kill him, and decides to go out and try to kill David once again. This is what happens when you let your emotions guide you. You become like Saul. Because Saul would repent. He would change his mind. In fact, he did it several times up until this point. He tried to kill David and then he realized he was wrong and said he was sorry, and then would stop trying to kill David for a little while. And then once again, when his emotions got high, he would forget that promise. He would forget that he was sorry, and he would go try to kill David once again. And that is why emotions are never reliable. You can't let your emotions guide how you're going to go. You have to focus on the truth. The truth in this situation was that Saul didn't want to give up his kingdom to David. That was the truth. David was not trying to take the kingdom from Saul. There was not one point that we see David trying to, you know, usurp authority over Saul or stage a coup or do anything to try to get the kingdom from Saul. And Saul even recognized that in 1 Samuel 24 when he apologized to David. He said, "I know now because of your good conduct that you're going to become the next king of Israel. And I just ask that when you do that, you don't kill off my children." And David was like, "I will not kill off your children." But even Saul recognized that David was not doing anything to try to take the kingdom from Saul. David was being kind. David was being righteous in many ways. And Saul recognized that that was the reason that God was going to give the kingdom to David. But time and time again, Saul is just having a really hard time of letting God do his will, of not being angry that God is taking the kingdom away from him. Saul is having a hard time both repenting and focusing on the truth and focusing on what God's will is. So Saul arose and goes down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Once again, Saul takes 3,000 chosen men. This means that these guys are like top of the line Israelite fighters that Saul chose himself to go out and hunt down David. And David at this time only has about 600 men. And David's men, it never said that they were particularly skilled in anything. It actually says that David's men were people who were poor or in debt or just in general had irritations with King Saul. So Saul is finding all of these warriors to go down and hunt David and his 600 men. It seems kind of excessive if you think about it. But the next verse here kind of shows a little bit of what I was talking about earlier, how David did not trust Saul. because it says that David was sending out spies to track Saul's location. Here's what it says in verse 3 and 4. Saul encamped in the hill of Hakila, which is before the desert, by the way. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had certainly come. So David did not trust Saul. He was sending out spies to track Saul's movement. And he sent out these spies and understood that Saul had certainly come once again. So it says that David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay with Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his army. Saul lay within the place of the wagons, and the people were encamped around him. This is very different than what we saw in 1 Samuel 24. In 1 Samuel 24, Saul had accidentally came across David. In fact, we saw that David, just a few chapters ago, was terrified of Saul. Terrified, was fleeing all the time. Very scared of Saul, and was writing psalms about his fear and about how God was going to sustain him and take care of him and avenge him. Like, David was very afraid back in those days. But now it says that David is actually seeking out Saul, going to the place where Saul is encamped at. So you can see that the change in David's demeanor here. He started out very afraid of Saul, and now throughout time, he's learning to trust in God and is learning that God is going to take care of him. I mean, even in the last chapter, when we talked about David and Nabal, that guy that was mean to David, God took care of David and avenged David even from that, even from an insult from somebody. And David is seeing how God is taking care of him throughout the years and how God is going to continue to take care of him. So David is beginning to trust in God's promises. So now he actually goes to where Saul is staying. And David surveys the camp, and it says that Saul was laying right in the middle of everything, and all the rest of his 3,000 men were surrounding him. In fact, different translations will say that Saul was sleeping in a trench. It'll say that Saul is sleeping in a chariot. This one says, the WEB says, that Saul was laying where the wagons were. Within the place of the wagons. This just means, however you translate it, that Saul was in the middle of the camp and everything else was surrounding him, whether it was a trench or whether it was a bunch of men or a bunch of wagons or a bunch of chariots. Saul was in the most protected part of the camp. So David says to Ahimelech and to Abishai, two of his men, he asks them, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" And of course, this would be a scary thing, I'm sure, for both David and one of his men to do, because it would just be two men going in the middle of thousands of people to try to get to Saul, okay? But Abishai volunteered. He said, "I will go down with you." So it says that David and Abishai, that's it, just two men, come to the people by night. And it says that Saul lay sleeping within the place of the wagons with his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner, who was Saul's captain of the guard, and also the people were laying around him. And David sneaks into the camp. And you might be like, how in the world did David get past 3,000 people to get to the middle of the camp? Well, that's because this was supernatural. And it says that in verse 12. It says that no man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake, because they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from Yahweh had fallen on them. It actually says in scripture that God blesses us with sleep, that sleep is a gift from God. For example, Psalm 127 verse 2 says that he gives his beloved sleep. Proverbs 3:24 says that when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Psalm 3 verse 5 says, "I lay down and slept. I awoke for the Lord sustained me." And one of my personal favorite verses is Psalm 4 verse 8, which says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So generally speaking, sleep is a gift from God, especially if somebody is in line with God, following after God. It says in scripture that God will give those people rest. But sometimes when people are not following after God and are not doing the things that God calls them to do, like King Saul, for example, God will use sleep as a way to humble them. And this was one of those times, and we've seen this a couple other times in scripture as well, where people were sleeping very soundly and suddenly their demise was upon them, basically. This is one of those times where God used sleep to put these men, these 3,000 men and Saul, into this deep slumber where they weren't even going to wake up from David and Abishai talking to each other and moving around the camp and moving stuff in the camp and walking over people to get to King Saul. And all of this was to once again humble King Saul. We see God trying to humble Saul so many times, and Saul just never takes the bait. He just never remains humble, unfortunately. So it says that David and Abishai came to the people by night. Saul was sleeping. Abishai says, David, God has delivered up your enemy into your hand today. Now, therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the earth at one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time. Now, it's kind of funny to me that Abishai actually asks David for himself to kill Saul, because the last time we saw David being able to kill Saul, David did not do it. He said, no, I will not kill King Saul because he is the Lord's anointed. So this time Abishai is like, David, look, you don't have to kill King Saul. I will do it for you. I'll do it. And then you won't have to feel the guilt of this sin. So let me kill King Saul. He's in the perfect position for me to strike him. And I won't even have to strike twice. I will do it so hard the first time. He will be dead. No one will be even wise to this. And David says to Abishai, don't destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against Yahweh's anointed and be guiltless? David said, as Yahweh lives, Yahweh will strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go down into battle and perish. Yahweh forbid that I should stretch my hand out against Yahweh's anointed. And this takes a lot of faith from David to not kill Saul when it's the perfect opportunity to kill Saul. But David believed that because Saul was God's anointed, that it would be a sin for him to kill Saul. And personally, I agree with that, because it does say in scripture multiple times that you respect those who are in authority over you, even if they're not good. Vengeance is God's. We saw in the last chapter that David almost took out vengeance on Nabal and Nabal's entire household. But then when David did not, God took out vengeance for David. Only like 11 days later, God killed Nabal. And I'm sure David learned from that. David learned that God will bring vengeance on somebody. And that's basically what he says. As Yahweh lives, Yahweh will strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go down into battle and perish. So basically, Saul was going to die one day. He was going to die either because Yahweh was going to strike him, or because he would die in battle, or because he would just die of old age. Don't forget, Saul is getting very, very old by this point. He's an old man. And David knows this. And he knows also that life is God's, and it is for God to decide when to take a life. It is not David's decision to take a life. So David says to Abishai, instead, take the spear that is at his head and the jar of water and let's go. So they take Saul's spear, and they also take a jug of water that was nearby Saul as well. And there's a very specific reason why David took these things. I'm not going to get into that today. But to conclude, it says, no man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from Yahweh had fallen on them. So David and Abishai get away scot-free from Saul's army, from literally going into the camp, potentially almost killing Saul. They get away totally scot-free. And I think David knew that Yahweh had put all of these men into a deep sleep, because how abnormal is it for all 3,000 men and Saul to be asleep at the exact same time? That just doesn't happen. People have insomnia. People have to get up to go to the bathroom. People are often light sleepers. And then on top of that, there would have had to be guards stationed around Saul keeping watch. So this was abnormal. And I think that David knew that this was a miracle from God. But David was not going to fail the test, I think, that God put in front of him to kill Saul, even when it was the perfect opportunity. And yes, sometimes God does test us. Sometimes he does test our faith. And David here, he passed the test with flying colors. He believed that God was going to avenge him and he was not going to take out his vengeance against Saul himself. I'm really enjoying this portion of 1 Samuel because you can see how David is growing throughout these chapters. You can see how he's just beginning to trust more and more in God. And sometimes God uses very hard circumstances to grow us. And of course, this was a very hard circumstance that David was going through, having to be a fugitive basically in his own country. Very hard and difficult circumstance, but David is passing the test and he's learning to trust in God even more. And I pray the same thing for all of us Christians, that we learn to grow more in God even during difficult times in our lives, and also that we learn to trust God and pass any test that God puts our way, because in the end we'll be better off for it and we'll have a deeper relationship with Yahweh. Faithful listeners, I will see you all tomorrow for an episode out of Romans. I almost said Acts, but no, we are in the book of Romans now. And it'll be a really, really good episode because we're talking about Romans chapter 1, the very, very controversial portion of Romans chapter 1. So stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. Faithful listeners, have a wonderful rest of your day. Happy listening, and God bless.